You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And now, it's time for the Lakeside Drive F1 podcast. Here are your hosts and my supreme leaders, James Baldwin, Campy, and Freya Brolsma.
Hello and welcome to Lakeside Drive. Once again, Fernando Alonso is going to be the driver to kick the driver market dominoes falling all over the place. And we learn that Australia is officially the season opener for 2025. All of that to come in this episode, as well as our preview of the Chinese Grand Prix. There is a notable absence from today's episode, one Thomas J. Camp. And good. As we do start thinking about the Chinese Grand Prix, I can't help but think it might be deliberate. Joining me today is James Baldwin. James, how are you? And have you been in any paddocks this week?
Hello. No. Thank you. Yes. No, I've not. Thank goodness for that. Just to avoid the joke for one more week. Although we won't be thinking about it next week because
that won't stop us.
This time next week, you won't be here either because you'll have been in London. You would have, by this point, I imagine, finished. No, not by this point. Tomorrow, by this point, you would have finished many, many, many kilometres, a full race distance almost of your own London Marathon.
That is true. So we were just talking about it earlier and trying to figure out these time zones is a bit of a mess. But roughly as the checkered flag falls, my lights will go out. So not literally, but the
I will have knocked myself out on a flagpole.
I hope that there is still light. There's still light in my eyes. But my lights out and away we go. We'll be going, lighting.
Yes,
I start as the Chinese Grand Prix finishes is what I mean to say in the midst of all of those words.
Can I also just say the notable absence of Thomas J. Camp is twofold. Firstly, he just didn't bring his podcasting gear to where he was going. So that tells you everything you need to know about that man. Secondly, he went to Incubus twice, I think. So he and four others went to the band Incubus.
Never to be seen again.
And fantastic. I mean, he was standing up the very back, I think. It looked like the forum or something of a venue. I couldn't see anyone between him and the stage. So whether or not it was just a VIP concert for him, I'm not sure. But yes, avoiding the Chinese Grand Prix. I mean, it has been a minute. It's been so long, you've never spoken about the Chinese Grand Prix on this podcast.
Not on this podcast, but in plenty of other places, that's for sure. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Look, yeah, we hope that Campy's had a great weekend. I do feel sorry for whoever was standing behind him at the Incubus concert because they will not have been able to see a single thing.
Very good.
But, look, I just had to pull out a comment this weekend following the Japan Grand Prix. And, I think Formula One on social media is just not a great place, as we talk about quite regularly. But every now and then you do get these little glimmers of hilarity and people who are going about things with the right spirit. And there was a video of Leclerc discussing strategy during the Japan Grand Prix. And someone commented on it saying, Imagine driving at 250 k's an hour, modifying the car specs for each curb, fighting G-forces, feeling the tyre degradation to give feedback to your team in real time, and also discussing a strategy by radio. These guys are supercomputers and super athletes. Mm. Most of the people cannot drive, and most of the people, capitals, cannot drive and speak correctly at the same time. Lol. To which somebody has replied, and let's not forget, in a language that is not your own, true. Mm. To which somebody else said, and here's me turning off the music while I park my car.
Totally.
And I just had to have such a laugh at that, because it can be a really grim place out there when it comes to social media. And I just like to see those little lights where people are just going about things in a funny way.
Go to the Discord. Tell me, is it just you, or is it when you reach your 30s like I am in, when you arrive to be close to the destination that you turn the music down somehow? Yes. Turning the music down helps you see better.
To see better, yes.
Let me know. I don't know. Maybe that's two of us. Go to the Discord channel and let me know, because I feel ridiculous doing that. And other people in the car with me will go, why are you turning the music? Because I can see better.
I know when I'm arriving.
Yeah.
What it's actually doing is helping your brain to focus on one thing at a time. So rather than it actually enhancing your vision, James, it's just getting rid of the noise, basically. Cognitively, you and I are not as able as these drivers. So.
Thank God.
Exactly. Look, let's get on with news of this week. There has been a little bit going on. First of all, it's been confirmed that Fernando Alonso is staying with Aston Martin. Now, in this announcement, he said that, yes, I spoke to other teams, but ultimately I felt the most wanted at Aston, which I find interesting. Mm. And he said it was also the logical choice. All the other conversations were light and never really reached conclusions or offers. He also added that Honda in 2026 was a big part of what he felt was appealing about Aston Martin, in addition to their obvious kind of investment in the team and the sport as a whole, obviously talking about their new fit out at Silverstone, their new wind tunnel that is coming, and obviously a lot of money going into this team and it being a big priority for them. It is the longest contract that he's ever signed, so he'll race until 2026. But discussion, you know, in terms of his involvement with that team goes well beyond his years as a driver. I think this is kind of where he sees himself, you know, spending the rest of his days. What was your reaction when you heard this news?
There's a couple of things to pull out of this. So he had a 5-year contract at Ferrari. So when he said this is the longest contract I've ever signed, that to me is really interesting. So it's more than 5 years. That doesn't necessarily mean it's all racing for 5 years, as you said. So it at least takes him to 26. So that's that first part. Secondly, who would have ever thought that he would have been praising Honda? This is the man who single-handedly destroyed the McLaren-Honda relationship.
Yep.
So far that they went to go and get Renault power units, which by that point was still not performing all that well. I mean, they were performing well and Red Bull have had some wins, but reliability was still an issue. Anyway, I was convinced, absolutely convinced, that Fernando Alonso and Honda was not a pairing that would have existed into 2026 and beyond in the new set of regulations, but I'm happy to be proven wrong. The third point is, where else was he going to go? Let us be very, very real about the driver market situation at the moment. I mean, Sergio Perez is doing enough to keep his seat at Red Bull, in my mind, but this time last year he was also doing the same. So whether or not that still becomes the case at the end of this season, who knows? If Daniel is able to turn it around, I still think Christian has so much of that beautiful romantic idea in his head of a Daniel-Max pairing again that he will make that happen. Now, hopium is one thing, and of course the last couple of episodes we have had two distinct sides of the argument, either completely agree with us or think that we're absolute morons, and that's fine. But I still think that to this point Sergio's done enough to keep it. I'd love to see Daniel in that seat, of course, who wouldn't? But Yuki's not going to that seat, because every time someone talks to Christian or asks him a question about Yuki Tsunoda and Red Bull, the conversation always changes. So that then means Yuki Tsunoda's hope of staying in Formula One because of Honda's relationship ultimately disappears for 2026. Because as soon as Honda depart RB, there's nothing keeping him to RB. Now, Liam Lawson absolutely deserves a seat, whether that's Danny Ricks next year or Yuki Tsunoda's next year. One of them should appear for this guy. He's exceptionally talented and I look forward to seeing him in the sport. But Alonso, yet again, after the Alpine domino effect and then Oscar Piastri and all the rest of the nonsense, is the one that has caused this sudden hurry-up to the whole driver market. Now, of course, Lewis Hamilton signed for Ferrari. Carlos Sainz sort of stepped out of the way. And everyone thought in the last couple of weeks that Carlos Sainz would be the Spaniard to make the first driver contract announcement for next season. We should have known that Fernando would have one-upped him when given any opportunity, so that's on us for being stupid enough to think that. But I just think Mercedes is not an option. We've discussed that Toto's going to wait for Kimi Antonelli to see whether or not he is successful enough. If he's not, he has drivers like Ocon, Gasly, a few others that he could put in a single-year contract until Antonelli is ready. So not only is that seat really not that encouraging from a performance point of view, but you're only going to get 1 year of a contract. Carlos Sainz doesn't want that. Carlos Sainz maybe wants Red Bull, but again, he's going to have to wait for a very long time. And his stocks are the highest out of any driver right now. So, Eddie Jordan said he thinks that Aston Martin will have a double Spaniard lineup next year in Fernando Alonso and Carlos Sainz. And so, whether Stroll and the board can actually get to grips with their team and go, do you know what? How about we get rid of Lance, go buy Alpine, even though Bruno Famine said it's absolutely not for sale. Yeah. But it should be, you idiot. Gets rid of, goes over there or something else. Aston Martin cannot be a proper contender for Formula One World Championship until they replace Lance Stroll. That's just it. Everyone, and this is not groundbreaking thought process. Literally everybody says it. People who know much more about Formula One and much less about Formula One than me say it. So everyone's on the consensus singing from the same song sheet. So I just wonder if it's that might be a possibility. Eddie said there's nothing firm, but he's heard some things in the paddock. Otherwise, Carlos is going to Sauber. He has to. He's going to go to Audi. He'll go there next year. It's going to be a shit fight for 12 months until they become a works team. And the other person who is currently in contract negotiations for the other seat in Sauber is Valtteri Bottas. So, and I just think that'll be a great pairing for Audi. It'll be a great pairing for this brand new set of this regulation change, rather, and a new constructor coming into the sport. But ultimately, it means that he probably won't be towards the front for a very long time. So it's frustrating, I think, for Carlos, because suddenly Fernando making this decision so early has ultimately closed the only door at Aston Martin, unless Aston Martin kick out Lance, which is highly unlikely.
And it's just interesting because he's, I think, as far as I know, he's kind of the only driver out there we don't know. He doesn't really have a contract, so to speak, in that we don't know how – he doesn't have a date on his head when it comes to when he will stop racing there, because you know that's just not his relationship with the team for obvious reasons. So it's always this question mark over his head because we don't know what their commitment is to him and what they're going to do to extend that. Like you said, when they're starting to really evolve their processes and their practices and their buildings and their wind tunnels and all of that type of thing, it's the obvious last thing that's not going to align with the development of everything else that they are doing. They're going to say, all right, guys, everything else is to an exceptional standard and there's one, you know, big thing that is not quite there yet, and someone's going to have that conversation at some point, you know, but he's the only one. We just don't know where he is.
And can I just say as well, for Fernando Alonso, I mean, this is his last contract in Formula One, more than likely. It's his last. So like Lewis Hamilton, he's trying to find himself an organisation that has a life post-racing. And McLaren to me isn't that. Like, their focus on their road car brand just isn't what it is, because Zak Brown has entered every single form of motorsport he possibly can. Whereas Aston Martin also now has, I mean, it also has a Le Mans program. So the Valkyrie is coming in to WEC. And so there might be some opportunities for Fernando later on in his racing career to step out of, again, try and have a crack. Well, he did. He's already won Le Mans, so he's two out of the three for the Triple Crown. But there's more in that. But also just being an Aston Martin brand ambassador. You could do anything he wants for the rest of his life in the same way that Lewis Hamilton would do that as a Ferrari brand ambassador. And I just think it's really clever. I really do.
It's interesting you mentioned that actually, because Lewis gave an interview where he was talking about retirement as an athlete, and he was saying that whilst it's obviously not on the cards anytime soon, it is something that he's thinking about. The reason being that his fellow elite athletes are people who we're talking Michael Jordan, we're talking Serena Williams, people who he discusses life decisions with. But more to the point, athletes who have retired, and they've said, you know, how did you feel about it afterwards? 6 months down the track, a year down the track, how did you feel about your retirement? And there was mixed answers in terms of, I didn't prepare enough for it. I over-prepared for it. It's well-known now challenge that we see with athletes' mental health following retirement, whether that's by choice or forced to retire via injury, or just the, you know, not getting a place on a team, basically not being selected for their various pursuit. And so it is interesting that you say that, because I think it is something that both Alonso and Lewis are looking at in terms of going, look, it is going to be in the nearer future in comparison to the rest of the drivers on the grid, and wanting to make better decisions than some of their athletes in the past perhaps, and being really underprepared for that change and next stage of their life. So, yeah, absolutely, that's something that he'll be thinking about in terms of where it takes him post-driving career. The other news this week is that the 2025 calendar is out. This will be the 75th anniversary of Formula One in terms of like FIA Formula One, which so I think we could see some exciting events next year at the different tracks and people celebrating that, which is something to look forward to. The calendar, in terms of some of the major differences, it'll start 2 weeks later than it did this year. As I mentioned, Australia is confirmed as the season opener, and then we go straight to China. Which was interesting on our Discord. People have already booked their flights and accommodation for the Oz Grand Prix weekend, which is great to see. And look, so you should. You know, this year there were 132,106 people at race day and 452,055 over the course of the weekend. Ridiculous. So, yeah, get your accommodation and flights booked. Probably not a bad idea. Hungary goes back to being the final race before the summer break, and we do still have that triple header at the end of the season to finish us off of Vegas, Qatar, and then Abu Dhabi. I really disagree vehemently with that element of the calendar. We can talk about that in a second. There will be six sprints, but those are not confirmed just yet in terms of where they will be. James, was there anything on the calendar that surprised you?
Not really. I'm glad that we finally have Australia as the opener. I would like to get a deal to like 2036 or 2037. Yeah. And I think as part of that is we get at least five rounds as the opener. In that new deal. So this will be one of that. I mean, we could be the opener for every round. Every season, I should say. I think it makes a lot more sense for once to have Australia, China and Japan as the first three rounds makes fantastic sense. It's a logistical nightmare to come out to here. The amount of people also who flew out to Australia and then flew back to Europe and then flew to Japan and then flew back to Europe and then flew to China is ridiculous to me. I mean, stay in the time zone. Lots of people went to Bali. That was an incorrect place to go, by the way, for this part of the world. There's many nicer places. And then to put Bahrain
out in
Saudi,
Kuta in your days off?
No, absolutely not. I just go to the Gold Coast for the same type of vibes. Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, well, Bahrain and Saudi Arabia then being joined together, then going to Miami. That's the random flyaway race before all of Europe and then Canada randomly yet again right, in the middle.
Yeah.
Why would
it's a tricky one with Canada though, right? Because at the start and end of the year, you know, the temperatures there just absolutely plummet. You know, the end of the year is not viable at all for them, and you've got to put Asia at the start of the year. So it's they're a bit of a tricky one. What do you do with them?
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just looking at this calendar again. I actually really like it. I genuinely, I think the way that it is spread out and the sort of pockets of the world that we're going to apart from Canada and Miami make a lot of sense. I mean, to go from Monza to Azerbaijan to Singapore, or at least that's all coming this direction, and then North America into South America, back to Vegas, and then, as you said, to Qatar, and then Abu Dhabi is the finisher. I mean, it probably makes the most sense of a calendar that we've seen for a long time. So whoever has had a hand in putting that together, well done. I think we're not quite there yet, but it certainly makes a lot more sense than this season and last season.
I definitely agree with that. I just hate that triple header at the end because the time zones are disgusting because Vegas is obviously a night race. And so we had that issue last year of people staying up. They're going to bed at 7 o'clock in the morning and then having to go over to Qatar and Abu Dhabi with the two following weekends and just their bodies being all over the place. Their poor circadian rhythms trying to do their job and going, excuse me, sir, what is going on?
Poor cicadas.
That is something that that worries me just because we've seen it before. And I think when they talked about it last year, a lot of the drivers did say we need to learn from this. Yeah. And that's one thing I think they could have done better.
And it's not even about the drivers. It is about the physical team that turn up. I mean, we know, both you and I know people who had just completely quit Formula One altogether because they were so cooked. And I remember speaking to one of those people specifically after the triple header last year and he was absolutely done. He had a tough year as it was, but absolutely cooked afterwards. And I just think to end a season, I mean, I was exhausted just from working the one Grand Prix, let alone doing, you know, bloody 24 like most of these people. And I know there's some time off in the middle of the year, time off inverted commas and a few other bits and pieces, but it is very tough. And I hope that, I mean, I'm sure a lot of the HR departments and a lot of these teams and in Formula One itself have a rotating schedule and a roster by trying to give people a break from those sorts of things. And so not everyone will be doing three in a row, hopefully.
You've made a note here that says Charles Leclerc ice cream.
Yes.
Now,
He's released an ice cream.
I have not seen this. So we're going to pause the podcast. I'm going to watch it and then we're going to talk about it.
Okay. We'll be right back after Freya catches up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, interesting. It's I don't really know what to say. It's ice cream. I find it interesting that they thought that it's uncommon to eat ice cream and to feel bad about it. The comments on this is also fascinating. Someone has said, do you come as a topping? Well,
wow.
Joy Maria, interesting one. Charles keeping a plan B in case his appendix removal is denied. But delicious.
Look, it's just a bit of fun. Do you know what though? It's just not something that is a proper business idea for me, like ice cream. It feels like someone's gone, do you know what we should do, Charles? We should start an ice cream company. And he's gone, I've got fuckloads of money. That's a great idea. And no business sense. Yeah, I just don't understand. It was kind of like teased a couple of weeks ago and I saw something about it on social media when, that doesn't seem legit. Who would do that? Well, proved me wrong. So here they are, the Leck ice cream collection. The advertising, that don't watch the full-length video because it's woeful.
It's terrible and really long.
Just go to 60-second version is fine on Charles's Instagram.
Interesting. All right. That was something I didn't see coming. So fair play, Charles Leclerc. You're keeping us on our toes. Okay. The last point here is Andretti setting up a Silverstone facility. So this is an interesting one. There's a comment under this saying, you know, a shed does not a team make, which I thought was amusing to think that.
Tell that to
Benetton. And also to think that that's what he's doing here. I was like, this is a hugely symbolic move as well. Absolutely. As one that will help with the practicalities. Were you shocked, surprised, completely unemotional? What was your general response and feelings, James?
No, I laughed a little bit. I laughed a little bit because in nowhere of any of the press releases does it say what the facility is for. I have read so many articles to go, but okay, I understand, but what do you do here? Yes, this is a facility. It's very important that we have a presence in the United Kingdom with our facility. I was like, it's okay. So it's near the campus. We've got a campus now. We've got a facility. It is, if you know Silverstone, it is literally opposite the entry to Silverstone in like a big, you know, the industrial area. So it is, as Freya said, right up front, close to Formula One as a bit of a symbolic thing. There is nothing worse, I think, than having to just really physically put yourself here to say, no, no, we do deserve a place in this sport. They shouldn't have to do that. They absolutely deserve a place. Andretti is a great brand. It's a global fantastic entity that has fantastic results across multiple SKUs of racing. So why not? Apart from the ridiculous reasons of from team principals and sharing money and all the rest of it. Anyway, so I think it's another step in a good direction for Andretti, but Formula One's already said no. So unless something changes for 2026, who knows? But from my understanding, the Cadillac GM partnership is still a thing that they're willing to sort of be involved with.
Yeah, so they've said that it'll have manufacturing facilities. Facilities is the word of the day, by the way.
Facilities.
Manufacturing facilities, including pattern, model, machine shops, ADM, electronics, R&D, and office, additional office and meeting facilities. Facilities. So many facilities.
But for
you
what,
you get a facility.
Though? I understand
you get a facility.
All of this.
Everyone gets
so
a facility.
They already make stuff. They make stuff, thanks, Oprah. They make stuff in the US already for their IndyCar team and everything else. Like, I just don't understand. Anyway, maybe it's Formula E.
Yeah, and they did mention that it may help with their Formula E presence. I think it's symbolic, to be entirely honest. They quite literally needed to put a physical kind of stance in the UK to show that they're not going away more than anything else. Like, haha, you can't knock down my fort now. I will be here until you let us in. But like you said, nothing's going to change anytime soon. We already know the outcome of that. And as we watch Alpine and the like at the moment trundling around, it is even more aggravating that one of the reasons that has been discussed when it comes to Formula One management is that they just keeps coming back, that they will gain more from Formula One than Formula One will gain from them, and it's just annoying. All right, that is the end of the news for this week, and we are ready to discuss the Chinese Grand Prix. Now, the last time we were racing in China, here's a few things that just to jog your memory. What was going on when we were last here? Here are a few things
Please
that were going
jog
on. I'm good at that. first of all, Vettel was at Ferrari at that point. Kvyat was at Toro Rosso.
Yep.
We had Kimi Raikkonen at Alfa Romeo with Italian Jesus. We had Hülkenberg and DR at Renault. That was his. He just left Red Bull the year before.
First year.
So first year at Renault. Carlos Sainz was at McLaren with Norris, who looked about 11 at the time. Gasly was at Red Bull. So he'd obviously yet to propel himself into Campy's bin. He was still in one of the Red Bull seats at that point in time. We had Alain Prost waving the checkered flag at the end of that race, which was a beautiful moment. Haas, this always makes me laugh, and I wish Campy was here. Haas at that point was actually Rich Energy Haas F1 team.
Oh my God.
Grosjean was one of their drivers before he made his move over to IndyCar. Racing Point was a thing. We had Kubica at Williams, and this was one of those weekends where Lewis got in there, and that is one of those things that hasn't changed because I still don't know where there is. So, James, are you excited to go back to Shanghai International Circuit, or have you just forgotten what it's all about?
Not really. If I'm perfectly honest, there are better racetracks in the world than this. The first part of the track is really interesting, I think. The latter part of the track is pretty boring. And I've said this heaps of times, Alex Albon in a Toro Rosso around here in 2019 was one of his best drives, I think. So it can throw opportunities for different teams up and down the grid to do interesting things. It was the 1,000th Grand Prix as well the last time we went here. And they had like a quarter capacity for the whole event. So that shows you how interesting Formula One in China was back then. But at least there's a home Grand Prix for Zhou Guanyu. In his last season of Formula One, he finally gets a home Grand Prix after being promised so many times. This is probably a circuit that I would be very happy to miss from a season point of view, but it's clearly here to stay. It's been announced already for next year as the second round. So it will be interesting because we haven't seen any kind of Red Bull dominance at this circuit before. The last bit of tyre degradation information they had was from 2019, completely different cars as well. We haven't run these new ground effect cars on this circuit. So, look, there's plenty to go, well, this is going to be interesting enough at least where no one knows really what's going to happen. And, of course, because we've seen some reliability issues now for Red Bull. That does throw some kind of hope towards Ferrari maybe being able to get a result, but it would be, I think it would be difficult for anyone but Max Verstappen to win this Grand Prix yet again, but potentially in the way that this circuit is designed, Ferrari might actually have a little bit more pace here than what people would be expecting. But again, who knows?
Yeah, look, so the circuit itself was actually designed to look like the Chinese symbol for, which means upwards. It's called Shang, which I thought was interesting. So from above, like from the air, so it looks great. So we should get some very beautiful aerial shots. That's something that you might appreciate with your plane obsession. I'm not sure that we'll see a fly,
but
very
interesting. I want to look at the planes, not from the planes down.
That everything to do with planes. And like you said, though, the second half of the race, it does get a bit meh. And I think because we have the straight line speed kind of big gaps between the teams that have it and the teams that don't, I think that's where we will see quite a big split between the teams who perform well here and the others who just don't have a chance in hell really in catching them because their straight line speed is so poor. It is one of the longest straights on the calendar. It's 1.2 Ks long. So it'll be interesting to see if the rest of the track allows people to catch up. But I do think that's something that's going to kind of, you know, separate the teams in terms of their straight line speed quite significantly. We'll get to our actual predictions in a minute. You mentioned Ferrari might do quite well here. Is there anything else that you're hoping or expecting might happen this weekend? Or is just the fact that we've got so many drivers who haven't actually driven here and those who have, not for a very long time, even like Norris didn't make it through the whole race last time. He retired. And so there's quite a few who've either never driven here or never finished a race here. So there could be a bit of jeopardy, but what do you think might happen?
My eyes are totally on Daniel Ricciardo and this new chassis, to be perfectly honest. It's the only thing that I'm really interested in this weekend. Hopefully it's something that helps him mentally get over the last couple of rounds. Christian was asked, I think, at some point in the last week, what he thinks of the situation. His response was, Daniel's a big boy. He knows how to get through this stuff. Also, there's a long season to come. Yes, there is many, many rounds. We still haven't reached a full start of like a 2015-16 season yet because anyway, there's a whole bunch of things. But anyway, I think for that it'll be interesting. Hopefully he can get to grips with the car a little better. But otherwise, not really. That sounds a bit boring, doesn't it? But I honestly think the mid pack is so tight. If Ferrari do well here, as Campy would say, Haas will do well here. So it is depending yet again on Lance Stroll, whether or not he finishes the race or not. And if he doesn't, that 10th position is up for grabs. And I think that's probably the most contested position on the grid right now because of the strength and dominance of the other teams, unless the reliability issue happens, which of course, as we saw in Australia, opens up more point scoring positions for more teams.
All right, we will be back after this break to look at our actual predictions for the next weekend. Let's start with Campy when we're looking at our predictions. He has just sent them through from live from the bin. Campy has said his predictions for the Chinese Grand Prix, front row, Max and Oscar. That's new, Campy. You're an original beanie.
He's just
going to
keep saying it until it comes true.
Until
and
it
like,
happens.
Oh, see,
and then
I
he'll be like,
you,
I'm the prophet. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. His podium is Max, Carlos, and then Perez. Again, completely unoriginal. 10th, he has Russell. Okay. And Hamilton last.
Oh, my God.
Interesting selections there. James, what have you got for us? Front row.
I think front row will be Max and Carlos. I think for podium will probably, I mean, I'm kind of liking Carlos being on every podium he's ever been in. And he is quite literally, wait for it, hey, Bart, say the line, he is driving to survive in Formula One. So I think he will be, I'd like to say he's going to be second. So I think Max first, Carlos second, and I think Checo will be in third. I get the feeling that he'll have a bit of confidence, Checo, from a qualifying point of view, but from last round, I should say, but we'll yet to see where he's going to be at. 10th. This is the hardest position, the hardest points paying position to think of. I'm going to say Hülkenberg if Ferrari is going to do well, and I think Haas will probably get a point. And last, I mean, take your Alpine pick, quite honestly, Ocon.
Ocon. All right. So to be clear, you've got the same podium prediction as Campy then. So Max, Carlos and Checo. So both of you need to.
In that order though, did he say that? He did. Oh, well.
You did. Yeah. And I, the other thing, and to be fair, I forgot. Did I forget to ask him this or is this going to be Campy's fault?
Bold prediction.
Bold prediction. Apologise. I didn't ask you, but you also didn't remember that we do this every weekend.
Here's a bold prediction.
James,
Daniel Ricciardo is going to beat Yuki Tsunoda in qualifying and in the race because somehow he's going to magic dragon himself back into the Danny Rick that we all love. Yes, everyone on YouTube, oh, you have no idea what you're talking about. You're a moron. How did you get access to the paddock, etc.?
They let anyone in these days.
They do, clearly.
Well, I mean, me and Campy are on the grid. So, you know, it's that's
the,
obvious.
Hang on. The supercars grid, let's the be very clear, was not Formula One. Front row, Freya Brolsma.
Okay. Hilariously is the one who's actually meant to have done the prep for this is the one bit that I haven't done. So my front row, I'm going to say Leclerc and Max.
All that ice cream. Giving him some power.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently low-calorie ice cream, which is bullshit, by the way. Yeah, eat the ice cream.
It's just delicious.
It's just exactly. My podium, I'm going to say, why didn't I think of this before? Okay, so I'm going to say Leclerc, Max, Checo.
Okay, so basically the same thing but with the ice cream connoisseur,
and
maker,
somehow hurler. He might make a move on Max. I don't know.
Tenth?
Just trying to be more interesting here.
Fair enough.
10th, I'm going to say Yuki.
Okay. And bold prediction. Oh, sorry, last. Yes, you're
last,
right.
Last. No, I think you're right with the Alpines. Or is it going to be a stake driver? I'm going to say Joe. Yep, I think he's going to be last at his home Grand
Happy
Prix,
home
which is
Grand
going to be
Prix.
Absolutely devastating for him. I'm sorry, that was very cruel of me, but there we go. And my bold prediction, bold prediction is that.
Would you like me to give you a bold prediction? Because I've got a second one because it's that Stake will have a decent pit stop. Rather, that's a bold prediction.
Okay, well, that can be Campy's. That can be Campy's bold prediction because he didn't have one. So he can have that and I'm going to save my bold prediction, both Williams into Q2.
Wow. Both Williams not crashing, not damaging a chassis for a weekend would be a bold prediction as well. Well, I think that's okay.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Got there eventually. I'm trying to come up with something new and different. It's hard these days when we just find, and we've obviously had our lovely spectacle of Carlos's win in Melbourne. But when the teams have settled into a pattern under these regulations, it is tricky to be, spontaneous with your or imaginative with your predictions.
There's also an element where we want to be entertaining on this podcast. We're not going to say exactly what we think is going to happen because that's was boring because everyone knows that. We just, there's the off chance that something that we say comes off and profit status will be stolen away from one Thomas J. Camp. If you listen to the podcast, that's exactly what we do.
Exactly. And you can do it as well. You can go and give us your crazy predictions on our Discord. There is some phenomenal chat going on there as always, as well as some gorgeous cats and dogs. Please keep all of those photos coming. We absolutely love to see it. There hasn't been as much food content this year as I might like, I'm going to say, James. Discord, get cooking.
There's been no running content as far as I've been aware because I've muted that channel.
Well, that's just you being ignorant as opposed to it not
happy.
Existing. So,
happy to be
you
it.
Know.
Happy to be ignorant.
There'll be plenty of that next week, either dismal or overly elated with how that goes. You can also let us know what your predictions are on Instagram as well. You can let us know via YouTube in the comments. Don't bother trying to talk to us on TikTok. We don't know what that is. Tell us how excellent we are and leave a review either on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, 5 stars, or on YouTube as well. Fantasy League, James. I don't quite know what happened to my team last weekend.
Please let me know if you know how this works, by the way.
I don't.
But just someone on the Discord. Tell me, because I don't want to read the rules. I don't have the time. I can't be bothered. But it is difficult to do this well.
It's so hard. And like last week, my team was actually pretty good in terms of the standings and where everyone ended up. And somehow I dropped 76 places. And I was like, I do not know why this happened. So go and join our fantasy league if you haven't already, because we love your names as much as anything else. That's why we're here. We all know that Campy's only goal is to beat me and everything else he doesn't seem to care about. But my goal is to cry laugh at the names that people come up with. So that's why I do it. Why do you do fantasy league, James?
I only am there for the names and to beat Campy, because early days in this podcast, he managed to have some pretty decent results against both of Tommy and myself. But now I have been, that's right, Voldemort, and I have now been crushing him. And he's like, I don't care anymore. I got my win early days and now I've just packed it up. That's
why. Take your beanie off and tell it to me straight, Campy. I think you do care. All right. Look, that is it for this week's episode, the previewing the Chinese Grand Prix. Thank you for joining me, James. I won't be there to review this one with you. I will either be collapsed in a pavement in London somewhere or potentially enjoying a few lovely pints at a pub somewhere.
Well, good luck. Let get behind Freya. Give her a good luck in the general chat channel. Don't do it in the running channel because I won't see it.
Over and out.
Just say it properly.
That's my sign off.
Just say it properly. Unbelievable.
No,
don't stop
not.
Triggering me.
I will not. It's my favourite sport.
No.
Besides Formula One. Sports Social Podcast Network.